Late night. I haven't said that in a very long time. Remember when I used to start my 5x5 late night shows? After the music would go off, because there's a part where it says late night in the music, I would say late night. And I would crack up because I thought it was so silly. And but I thought I'd say it tonight because I haven't done it in a very long time. Hi guys, how you guys doing? Oh God, I sound so country. I said that earlier today. I'm like, wow, the more I stay in southern Indiana, it's not even country, it's hickorybilly. You know, I don't pronounce all my letters, all my vowel sounds, and I cut words off. I'm like, I sound like I belong and well, no, I sound like I belong exactly where I am, or West Virginia. No shade. But like I said, I sound so country because I cut all my words off, and I'm tired of talking like that. So I hope you guys are doing good. Don't ask me why I'm laughing, because I have no clue, because it's been a very, very long day, and my really good friend, Mr. Ken Boggle, whose Ken Boggle Talk Season 2 is starting on May 8th. He's mad at me. He says his ass is mad at me, but the hooker is here, and I ain't called, nor did I text his ass. I'm sorry. I've had a busy, busy day. I'm not. Ken thinks I'm avoiding him. Yesterday, Mr. Ken, he emailed me some information on a YouTube video called the 5-Bite Diet, and I will have to say that I'm not avoiding you per se. I just know I don't know. And I said you're gonna get your results, and if you're having really stellar results, I'm going to start. But I had to get my mind right. You know, anytime before you start a diet, especially for big people, because and I wanna say this, especially when you have bouts of depression, food is comforting. And so if I'm going through one of my mood swings, 5 bites is not going to get it. But Ken is, he's doing the 5-bite diet. He's letting me have it in the chat room. So if you guys want to see Ken talk to me really, really bad, you can come join us in the chat room. I'm not avoiding you, but no, seriously, I got your message earlier, and then I was at work today, so I had things to do, and then I forgot that you sent me the message, so it was just me being David, and I have no excuse, but I'm not avoiding you, never that, honey. I don't avoid people. Not well, yeah, I do avoid people. Like tonight, right now we have at my job, we have, for my particular site, the overtime is open. You can work as much overtime, you know. I could be really raking in the dough. It's either I'm lazy. Well, no, it's not like I just don't want to do it. And so there's a staff, a coworker. Like I went in at 1 o'clock today and I had enough. So I left at 11. Normally I get off at 12, but here's the thing that I'm going to say about this. Then I'll go back to the 5-bite diet. I have a coworker, and so you can come in on another person's shift to work. That's the whole thing. You come into work, not, and this is why I call this "That's Random," because I'm gonna be talk. I'll talk about random topics tonight. Nothing really on the schedule, as it were. I'll be this be randomness, but anyhow. And so he comes in, and I mind you, I don't particularly like this coworker, because he lies. He's an idiot. He thinks he knows everything, but doesn't have one credential to back up. But then again, you open your mouth and everybody knows you're stupid. But yet, you know how some people, when you see people, like when you're watching television and there's a news report and they seem like they'll find the most uninformed person on the street to interview, and they're on there talking crazy. This is this person. This is who this person is. And so he comes in today, like at. Because his shift really doesn't start until 12. I'll tolerate him. He comes in at 11. I'll tolerate him for an hour. But he came in like at 7:30. And so I didn't want him there. But hey, you want to work it out, but don't you come to work. You don't come to sit. And so you don't come to, read your little book and then proceed, because we're not supposed to have cell phones at the job. Although I do have mine, but it's for emergency purposes and the occasional tweet or Facebook post. I know it's wrong, but here's the thing. You have to be not even respectful of the job and respectful of what you're told in the job. People sneak, use the phone or whatever. If it's gonna be quick, 5, 10 minutes, not even 10 minutes, if 2 to 5 minutes, it's fine. But when you have an all in all out conversation to where everyone at the site can hear your conversation and you're being really, really ignorant with it's time for you to put your phone down. And so in my head, I'm getting mad. I'm getting mad. I'm like, no, you can't come in. So he brings the lawn chair into the site and sits down. I'm like, you're sitting here ready to go to sleep. And then he nods off. And I'm there. I've been there all day doing all the running. And he has scheduled something today that he could have done while he was there, but he waited for me to come because I'm the one that handles everything most of the time. Well, no. 99% of the time I'm doing everything, because if I trust these idiots to do it, it won't get done. But with that being said, you don't come in and, what, 7:30, you don't come into work. How many hours is that? That's 4 and a half hours early, and just sit because somebody else is there and you think that you don't get to do any work. I left everything for him. Everything. And I want you to say something. I did what I had to do as a requirement of my job, but the extra stuff that needed to be done, knock it out, boo. I'll go back in tomorrow, and I'm sure it'll still be there when I get there. Then I'll be pissed off all over again. But when you come to work. Don't come and sit and have your phone conversations and handle your personal business. You could have did that before you came and then came to do something. I can't stand him. And I don't really talk about people like that. Well, sometimes I do, but it just gets on my nerves. I mean, it just really gets on my nerve. Anyhow, back to this 5 bite diet. Now, Kenneth sent me this information yesterday, and I watched part of the video, and how, and I, then I, but I want to talk to Ken about it because he had been participating, has started participating in it yesterday, and so I looked it up online, and this is from a website called Healthy eating.sfgate.com, 5 by 5, but you can put 5 by 5 5 bite diet anyhow. And so this diet, they said this diet allows for all types of food, even fast food. Created by Dr. Alan Lewis, the 5 bite diet is based on the simple principle that if you eat less, you'll lose weight, which that's true. You don't have to worry about counting calories. Instead, you count how many bites you have taken. Although this idea may be appealing, the 5 bite diet is more of a fad diet than a healthy diet. Let's see. Amount of food. On this diet, you skip breakfast and are allowed only 5 bites of food at lunch and 5 bites of food at dinner. So, Ken, I'm asking you, and Ken's lost weight. He's losing weight on this. I don't know if I have that kind of will. Because if I eat something that's really, really good, if I eat something that's really, really good, then I'm going to, if it's more, say, if I go to Carrabba's or I go to, let's say, what's another restaurant that I like going to? If it was like a restaurant, Big Chow Grill in Atlanta. I'm gonna eat, that's that had to be really. Now, how, now, Ken, here's a question. I'm being 100% serious. Do they give you a bite that there's a size of a bite or just a or normal bite? Is it like a size of a 50 cents piece, a size of a quarter, spoon size, fork size? Ken said it's tough. But not tougher than doing crunches. And I, hey, exercise is one thing. And I'm not, thing is, when I was working out, and I was working out like a fiend at one point in my life when I was very healthy, I worked out a lot. I did a lot of crunches. I ran a lot. I did what I was supposed to do. I counted calories and I lost the weight came off, and relatively quickly. But I just don't have a lot of willpower. There's so many things going on. I have so many, I would say going on in my life, there's so many things on my plate, as it were, and not a food plate, just like a responsibility plate. There's so many things that I have to do. It's like, I think one more thing to stress me out, because I will stress about eating. I will stress about eating. Now, here's the thing. I've only eaten once today. I did go to Hardee's, but I've only eaten once today, once today. And so that between lunch and dinner, that's probably 5, 10 bites, right? Because I think I could eat a Whopper in 5 bites, but then I want the fries and everything. I think it would stress me out. He said it is meant to give you a stomach staple diet without the diet, without the sta well, no, without the staples. And I can see how that would. I totally understand the concept. It says even if you take really large bites and eat foods high in calories, this will still be very low calorie crash diet, most likely providing fewer than 800 calories per day. The Weight Control Information Network recommends not going on a VLCD unless you are under the supervision of a doctor, since these diets can be risky for your health. Crash diets can cause your metabolism to slow, decrease your immune function, and cause heart palpitations, according to an article published by CNN.com. The type of foods you can eat on this diet. The 5-by diet allows you to consume whatever foods you like, as long as you get at least some protein each day and take a multivitamin. While you will probably still lose weight even if you choose less healthy foods like hamburgers, fries, or candy bars for your 5 bites, you're unlikely to get the nutrients you need. A healthy diet focuses on nutrient-dense foods like whole grains, fruits, vegetables, low-fat dairy, and lean protein sources. I guess, but the whole concept is. If it were that bad, they would not do it for obese people. Yeah, I see what they're saying. I see what you're saying. Because I think there's different things for different people. But people thought I was crash dieting back in the day when I was, eating, less. And but for me, it's not even about, what the diet is and what it consists of. It's all about a matter of will. And I don't think right now in my life, I have the will. I agree. He said obese people, which are in the worst health conditions. I agree with that. I'm obese. I might may even be morbidly obese. I know that's what kind of was a catalyst back in the day when I started, when I really said, okay, I'm gonna lose this weight. When I went to the doctor because I was having some back problems. And I seen on one of his little papers he was writing down, he had wrote I was more morbidly obese. And I was like, wow, that's when you think about, them actually seeing those words, it kind of gives you a push in the direction of you need to be healthier. And I know now that I'm not healthy at all. You know, my eating habits are horrible, but I don't have a routine. I don't have a routine anymore. I don't have time to say, okay, I'm going to cook this and it's going to be healthy. I can, but I just don't have the time. I'm not allotted the time to do that. And I know it's an excuse, but that's what exactly what it is. It's an excuse. Ken says he's doing it because he has to get out of this heavy suit. I do too, but Ken, now I have no problem doing it. I just, you know, I really need to be in a more stable mindset. If I could get a few things off of my plate, I would be better to handle this, because I think you can only handle so many things at one time. You know, when I have work stress, I have family stress, I have, you know, inside my head stress. I think, and probably being healthier would make me feel better. You know, and I think it's all a vicious cycle that I put myself through, and I totally understand that. I know other people do it as well, but I just need to be in a different state. That's one of these things I had to say, okay, this, and I'm not one of these people, well, I'm going to try it. I'm either, you know, I do it or I don't do it. There's no gray area, or okay, I want to see how it works. I'm really not that guy. I'm either, okay, this is what I'm going to do. I'm going to do it, and I will see it through normally. But I also know who I am, and I know that something like this, when I'm like, I'm not ready. If I'm not ready, I'm not ready at the time. So, but Ken, I want you. Yeah, exactly. And Ken said there will always be stress, and he said you'll make a change when you're ready. I think that's exactly true. And but see, but the flip side of that coin is, you know, when I'm ready to change, will something happen prior to that? And then it's too late, you know. So you're always kind of fighting with those demons when you're when you're doing anything, when there's any challenge in your life that you know you have to get through, or something you know you have to take on. You know, either you do it and you get through it, or you wait, and then sometimes, you know, you wait too long and then you miss the opportunity. And that's another fear of mine. I say sometimes I get complacent in my complacency, and like I'm okay for right now, and then I'll just kind of ride that. And then whether it is whether I'm ready, or procrastination, or fear, sometimes some of those things can hold me back. But there's on some things I'm just gung ho on, and I'm like, okay, I'm gonna do it, and if I want to do it, I can. So I think it's a thing for everybody to. Weight loss, or whatever, like I said, whatever obstacle that's in your path that you know you have to overcome. I think there's a time, and I think you know your time. Just like with people who smoke, there's a time to say no. When I stop drinking soft drinks, and I don't really think that, have I had soft drinks? Of course. Am I drinking the amount of soft drinks that I was prior to stopping, or not indulging as much? Tons. And I think that's okay. That's one step. I took care of that. Now, if I can curtail the eating, if I can get some of the eating under control, and then the five bite diet, that to where my body is more conditioned, because I do agree with what the little article said, is I think your body can't handle that drastic. Just like with people who, you know, there's health concerns to take into consideration, but I just think you have to be ready, and when you're ready, you just do it. So, and I do thank Kim for. Kim said, "Oh my God, he's so ready." He said he's changeable for something happens, and it would help his back. Yeah, Ken's had some issues with his back here. The thing is, he knows this is what he has to do. You know, this may not be for me, but hey, I'm going to do that. Ken and I talk all the time, so I'm sure he'll share his results with me. And then, as I get envious of him losing all this weight, I just may jump on board. But I'm going to do some more investigating and see, how I can, weave it into my life. as it were. Okay. We'll take a quick break and we'll be back and we're going to talk about what did I say we were talking about tonight? I said it was random and I did have a few things. Oh, what is art? That y'all going to trip when y'all hear this. We'll be right back. Back. It is the 5x5 Late Night Show. I'm your host, David, and I am sitting here chatting with you guys about just about random things that I've seen today and talking to my friend Ken and also Dinesh. I used to speak to Dinesh. It's been a long time coming on Spreaker. What do you mean, Dinesh? I haven't seen you in a long time, by the way. It's been a while. But yeah, thank you guys for listening. Oh, let's see. Dwayne Hadley from the Dwayne Hadley Network. Check out his shows. He's a good friend of mine as well. And he came up with the idea of an anniversary show for me. May 5th is, I had to make sure I'm not working. May 5th is, May's the 5th month, and of course, 5th, the 5th day of the month. He was saying that I need to do a, he said, make sure I do a podcast on May 5th. And I'm like, whatever for? He was like, he says, because it's 5 by 5, that's 2 fives. You need to do a show on that day. I'm like, what an ingenious idea. Although it looks like May 5th, I'm working because that's on a Monday. Yeah, there's, oh, I can do one that night. I can come home and do one. I could do one that night. So May 5th will be my anniversary show. I've been doing this for a little over a year now, and I really haven't had a anniversary show. And maybe I can get Darling Nikki back on. Of course, Ken will be here, and playing some of my favorite shows from bits and pieces of the past year. So May 5th, it's going to be my anniversary show because May 5th is 5/5/14, but we'll just focus on the fives. And thank you guys. So many of you guys have took the opportunity to follow the show, click the little follow button. You can always check me out on the 5x5.blogspot.com. Or facebook.com/the5x5, completely spelled out. That's right, Ken. Ain't that crazy? 5x5. And you can always give me a tweet on Twitter at the5x5, and the five's numerical. You know what? And yesterday, I'm going through because I'm a Twitter follower, and I didn't know there is a limit on how many people you can follow on Twitter. There's a 2,000 person limit. I'm like, did I really click 2,000? So I need to go through there. So now I can't follow anyone new until, one, I get more Twitter followers. So if you guys are on Twitter, just click follow, and then you get all the times that I'm on Spreaker, on Block Talk Radio, doing a show, and then random stuff that I talk about during the day. Hit follow, but or I delete some people from my people that I'm following. So I'm probably going to go back through my list and see some of the ones I followed early on. When I switched over to the 5x5 Twitter handle, and I didn't know, but always, and now I've been getting a lot of people on on Instagram. I'm such a social media whore. It's horrible. I've cut back though. I don't put as much stuff on Facebook as I used to because I'm just so sick of some of the people on Facebook. But my Instagram is one funny guy. So the number 1 FUNNYGUY. So check all those out, and look for the 5x5 anniversary show on May 5th. Probably it's gonna be at midnight, so it'll be really May 6th, but it'll be later in the, during the night, but like you guys to join me. And also, this next weekend, a week from today, because it is officially Saturday, a week from today is Free Comic Book Day. So look for some live, a live show from Free Comic Book Day here in town. My nephew will probably be with me like he was last year, and we'll do a show or two from all the goings on Free Comic Book Day. Go support your local comic book stores, and I'll talk more about that on Sunday night on Fanboy Weekly. So I was perusing online early today before I came to work, or was it last night? It had to be before I came to work today. And if you know what Instinct magazine, it's a LGBT magazine that's pretty, not, it's not raunchy, but they go there. And they had an article and links, and I'll tell you guys what links are, about an artist named Neil Curtis. And I believe he's out of New York. And I'm like, is this really art? But I'm not that avant-garde, and so I don't, and I don't know how to quantify art. I did take an art appreciation class in college, but none of that kind of stuck because I just it was a bird class. I just wanted to fly through it, right? And yes, I got that from Sister Act too, and and so, Neil Curtis, his new endeavor is doing body art. So his most recent canvas doing body art was hot blue collar workers stripped naked and painted. So if you go to Vimeo and type in Neil Curtis, you will see what I'm talking about. Because here he is, you have all these different there. I think there was a somebody with a chainsaw. There was a pianist. I don't see how that's really blue collar. There was a drunk guy. That's not really a job. But anyhow, he had these random guys. And they're all, my thing is they all had bodies of death. My thing is that he was trying to paint me. He would have one, he had these little bitty like paint roller thing. He would need a big one. I mean, a big one. Like he was doing a house or something. And so, so he's these guys, and so he starts painting them. They take their shirt off, and he's painting their arms and painting their chest. And then he takes his pants off. He paints their feet and paints their legs. And then this guy starts pulling down these the men their trousers. And then he's painting their penises and their butts and stuff. And I'm like, really? Is this are just people going? They're clapping and carrying on. I'm like, are you kidding me? Somebody's paying you to do this. I can do that. If I strip some men down at a somewhere here in town, and I said it was art, and I'm sitting with there painting their naked bodies, penis in hand, painting it blue, purple, yellow, green, whatever the color it is, they're putting my black ass in jail. And then that everybody's clapping like it was, like it was the best thing in the world. I'm like, okay, I'm sure in his mind there was something artsy about it. I don't know what it could be, because that seems like anybody can get a small paint roller, take men's clothes off, and start painting them until they're completely covered with paint. I didn't get it. I don't get it, but you guys have to go to Vimeo, because no, YouTube don't get down like that. You have to go to Vimeo and put in his and I'll have links on the blog, and I might have a video, but I don't want my blog to be X-rated because it's definitely NSFW. And but just put in Neil Curtis on Vimeo, and then you will see all these his artwork. The article from Instinct Magazine says doing this is what Curtis said in the interview. Doing body painting is something I discovered to like quite a long time ago. I think I was a kid when I started to realize that I like to paint on my body. I painted my hands, later also my chest, and at one point I thought, why not cover the entire body? I was not interested in painting a motif on the skin. The process of changing or covering the skin was more interesting and a logical consequence. Yeah, is that art? I mean, I guess art's all in the mind of the creator and what they perceive and what their vision is, and that's how they express that's how they express themselves to the their viewers, or I don't know. In other news, did you guys know that Jim and the Holograms, they're making a movie? Jim, she's truly outrageous, truly, truly, truly outrageous. Remember that? I used to watch Jim every morning before I went to school. every morning. And I'm gonna tell you this. This is a hashtag gay boys. I was in high school because this. But see, that's how I timed myself to get to the bus corner to catch the bus. The Smurfs would come on first, and then Jim and the Holograms would come on. And I knew when Jim was singing her last song, I had to have my clothes on and be walking out the door. The last little, I guess, 5 minutes, I knew I had to be walking out the door in order to catch my bus on time. But there's going to be a live action movie. The Jim and Holograms film official website made the big announcement and released images of the characters. And right now, I'm telling you, I don't like Jim's hair. And I don't think the black girl is a black girl. But the people playing the cast is Jim is Aubrey Peoples, where she has to play Jim. I think the girl's name is Jessica Kimber, which is Jim's sister. Stephanie Scott, Aja, Haley Kiyoko, and Shayna is Aurora Perriano. And they don't know if the Misfits, well, we are the Misfits. Remember that? They don't know if the Misfits are going to be in the movie yet, but I thought that was interesting that they're making a Jim live action movie. Now, will it be good? I'm not too terribly sure, but it just might be. You never know. We'll be right back.
So good. Why your nails on my back always felt so good? Why you so deep? Why you spell so good? Why when you make me a grilled cheese, the cheese smells so good? Why are you and I fly off to Dubai so I could dive in your bayou, thought of buying you the sky? I love you like grandma love Jesus, like Jesus loves you, like pews love preachers, like Ozzy love Ruby, like Ruby love Gator, but Gator love rock, like rock does paper. You gonna be the death of me, my negative necessity, my medicine, my holy sin, I'm ruining on your ecstasy. Drop it, shake it, pop that back until you break it. Slow pop, pretend you're naked. You're the one, but you're my favorite.
Just remember how much I please you. Don't forget. corner of my eyes, I couldn't help but stare. You were just standing there. That very point was a love at first sight. You simply made that mark. You made a mark on my heart. I'm all you need. It's guaranteed. I won't do you like she, she. I'll make you say oh, oh, I'll make you say yeah, yeah. No need for second guessing. Jump in and take your chances, cause I'll make you feel, I'll make you feel, I'll make you feel better. I'll make you feel, I'll make you feel, I'll make you feel better. No doubt in mind, I'm here to make you smile. I'll be your right hand man. I'll be your making this happily ever after. I'm all you need. It's guaranteed. I won't do you like she, no, she, no, she. And I'll make you say oh, oh, I'll make you say yeah, 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 yeah. No need for second guessing. Jump in and take your chances, guys.
Welcome back to the 5x5 Late Night Show. I'm your host, David, and I'm just chatting to some new people that are in my chat room tonight, saying hello to Sharon Shepherd. Thank you for joining me tonight. And she is without the only black person on Spreaker, although it is not a lot of us, but there's Brenda White. Oh, well, sit down and take your shoes off, Miss Sharon. Sometimes I talk crazy stuff, sometimes I don't. I play a little music in between some of the things I talk about. My friend Ken's in the chat room, and Dinesh. We're just sitting and chilling. Sometimes I have topics, sometimes I don't. Did I supposed to say your name? I'm sorry, Miss Sharon. I won't say it, but you popped up in my chat screen. I thought that's what you wanted me to say. I'm sorry. I like Sharon. Hey, girl. but no. There's a few of us here on Spreaker. There's Brenda White, Up All Night with Brenda White, and she's a cackle. She plays a lot of music. She has a crazy good voice. There's also, oh, you have to change it in your account settings and your profile data. That's why you have to change your name if you don't want it to show, if you don't want that to pop up in the chat rooms. There's the Black Nuna Speaks. She, a friend of the show. I love her show. She's hilarious. ATL girl. My heart's in Atlanta, so she's from Atlanta. Then there's Tony R. Williams. He plays music. And there's a few others. I think IR Radio. There's some gospel shows. So you have to look around and check, and they're on here. You just have to You just have to find this out, right? I think there's actually more probably on more of us on Blog Talk Radio, which I still do a show on Blog Talk Radio as well. But thank you guys. Welcome Sharon into the 5x5 family. She just got off work, so she's a little tired. Make you a little cocktail and listen to me talk crazy. And I think Ken Bogle has went to sleep on me. Ken Bogle, where are you at? So what I was talking about before, what was art? When I was talking about art and how that Neil Curtis thought that painting a naked man with a robe, he I'm not saying that that's art to him. For me, I think they would throw my black ass in jail. But here lately, I've been a little more crafty and artsy, trying to be, my whole little fanboy things that I try to do from time to time. Well, not from time to time, that I've been doing a lot recently. And they've turned out like I did some new ones last night, and I got this Mod Podge stuff that's called Dimensional Magic on point. I couldn't be happier. And Ken Bogle, I'm sending you some. and they'll eventually be on the Blurred HQ because they're more comic book fangboy, fangirl specific. But they're little magnets that I made out of ceramic mosaic tile pieces, magnets, old comic books, Mod Podge, and Mod Podge Dimensional Magic. See, that's art. To me, that's crafty. That's art. You have a vision of something you want to accomplish, and you think it's pretty. And I guess in what he's thinking, it's the same thing. But anyhow, enough of that. Well, Chase Bank is shutting down accounts held by porn stars. The taxpayer bailed out Chase Bank appears to have decided that folks who work in the total who work in the totally legal adult film industry are no longer worthy of holding accounts with the institution. Though legal money is legal money, hundreds of people who earn a living wage in porn have been sent letters from Chase advising them to find a new institution because their current bank accounts under the famous blue logo will be void as of May 11th, whether they like it or not. Jezebel, which is a magazine, website present, has more on the Chase letters that have been shared on social media this week. Sex work is never specifically mentioned, but as Kitty Stryker points out at The Frisky, Chase has a dubious history of discriminating against people in the adult industry and even people who just do work that's related to sexuality. Last year, for instance, Chase refused to process payments for Lovability, a company that sells condoms and promotes female sexual empowerment, because condoms are adult-oriented material and thus a reputational risk. After Lovability CEO Tiffany Gaines engaged in a high-profile protests against the company, the bank agreed to process Lovability's payments, but notably not to remove condoms from the prohibited adult category. I mean, Chase, I mean, y'all got that much money. Ken Boggle is a friend. Ken Boggle. he's another show host here on Spreaker and Blog Talk Radio. He's a friend of mine. But Chase is tripping, right? I had a Chase card at one point when I lived in Atlanta. I banked with Chase. I had a Chase credit card, and they're tripping. Not that I didn't work in the adult industry, so but maybe that's why they didn't keep mine. They didn't get rid of. Sometimes you got to let it update, Sharon. Because it might be the next time you log in, the sharing will be gone, and then whatever your new name should be up there. And you're right, Chase needs to mind their business for real. I mean, they're all up in the people's Kool-Aid talking about. But here's the thing: how do y'all know? I mean, how do y'all know who's working in the sex industry? Are y'all going to, BigDong.com and trying to find out what people are on, or BigBootyHoes.net trying to find who's working the porn and see if they have a Chase credit card, or all right, Sharon, see you in a bit, or are you just kind of seeing what they have put down as they what their work is? Because I guess they can put down actor And that, because a lot of times, how many times do porn actors use their porn names in their real life? I don't think that really makes a lot of sense. Own thing. I just think it's silly. And let's see. They said, who's deciding the international bank's morality? Will the account cancellation stop at the consumers who work in the adult film industry, or will gay activists, divorced adults, and people who eat pork soon receive notices from Chase too? Yeah. He said, Instinct Magazine said they've reached out for a comment from Chase and will update this story accordingly. Chase ain't stunned, y'all. Y'all keep on messing with them. Y'all will not have a Chase card either. Either. Believe that, because they're not thinking about y'all. Really, they're really not thinking about y'all. One more break. We'll come back, talk about James Franco's latest endeavor, and then we'll wrap up for the night. Thank you guys for listening. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. Love that song. That's called The Boss. She's like, who is the boss of this? We know what she's talking about, right? Welcome back. It's the 5x5 Late Night Show. I'm your host, David. And I'm talking to NYC girl. Thank you for rolling through and hanging out with me as I spit a little something in your era. I was telling her about, because she's new to Spreaker, and I was telling her that there's some really good shows on here, shows that I like to listen to, and but then there's some other kind of mean-spirited things that go on Spreaker, and but I try to stay out of all that. You know, y'all leave me alone, I'll leave y'all alone, because I don't got time for all that. I'm too old, and there's a lot of people on here that are too old to be behaving the way they do. These are adults that are behaving poorly. And acting crazy. But I'm in Southern Indiana, NYC girl. I'm in Southern Indiana. I used to live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I moved back to my hometown to care for a sick parent. And I'm missing Atlanta every day. I love Atlanta. I love the ATL. Girl, yeah, listen to the Real Talk with David and Nikki, and listen to the 5x5 Late Night Show. There's the good one. I work in home health care. Yeah, ATL is a lot of fun. ATL is a lot of fun. I miss Atlanta, and because it's always something to do in Atlanta. You know, whether, you know, but the, you know, the thing is, you have to be an adult, and I'm at the age to where going out to the club every night is not in my best interest. Not that I can't do it. I can, but I have to suffer the consequences later. But I'm planning a visit. I consider Atlanta my home. I'm going back home to Atlanta here in the near future to visit some friends and things down there. But yeah, Atlanta has a lot going on. You can get caught up in Atlanta. I tell a lot of black folks who have never been to Atlanta, that Atlanta will spoil you for the South. Because sometimes you get, if you get too far outside of Atlanta, you remember you're still in the South, and it is Georgia. It's a red state. And so, but you, if you stay within Atlanta and the metropolitan area, you're good. But then again, you know, there's a seedy side of Atlanta that sometimes people get caught up in and they can't get out of it. But then there's a really good Atlanta. Atlanta's very progressive and very, very mixed communities, and it's a lot of fun. Unlike living back here in the Midwest, where all you see is churches, cornfields, and cows. Oh, yes. I'm so over the Atlanta Housewives. It's so repulsive to this point now that I don't want to watch it. Because they show out. They show out. I'm over NeNe, thinking no one can say anything to her because she is a quote unquote star. Kenya is the consummate fame whore. The only one that I really enjoy is Candy. I've always been a fan of Candy all the way back to the Escape days. You know, just kicking. That used to be my jam, right? And what was that song? Who Do I Run To? What was the one song? Stomp my hands, clap my hands, stomp my feet. Every little thing that he does to me. Feel so good. I was off tune there, but y'all know what I'm talking about. But that was Candy Burris. Now, Candy Burris is on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. And so she started in the second season, I believe. Second or third? It has to be second. Second season. And the reunion, yeah. But I was glad when Portia snatched Kenya. I was glad when she snatched her and pulled her to the ground because Kenya was doing too much. And I tweeted Andy Cohen and Bravo TV because, you know, Andy, he is one of the owners, producers of the show, Andy Cohen, who has Watch What Happens Live. And he had. NYC Girl says that. Candy is my brother-in-law's cousin, so he says I ain't ever met her, so he could probably lie. And so, what was I saying? Yo, so Andy Cohen, he's part, well, he owns part of the show, because he even said that, yeah, he controls who gets fired and who gets hired. But then he had the nerve to say the fight between Portia and Kenya was gross. But here's the thing, Andy Cohen, I said this the other night. Here's the thing. You allowed Kenya to get on stage with her props that included a megaphone and a scepter. And she continually, and although I don't advocate violence and you don't put your hands on people, but she continually tried to berate and belittle Portia. They all had the little snide comments, but she thinks she's above whatever Portia, who or whatever Portia is, and she was putting this scepter in her face, and Portia had enough. So she had a breaking point. Y'all know the girl's not stable. Yeah, it is him to blame as well. And she like she likes to antagonize the other females. She kind of did it with Candy. She did it. Only person she hasn't really went after has been what's the model's chick's name? Cynthia. It's Cynthia. And of course, she did it with Phaedra. She tried to mess with Phaedra's husband. And Apollo is going straight to jail for credit card fraud and all that other stuff. He's going to jail. And I think the case is either they got an extension. I don't know if the case is this. It was supposed to be this month. I think it extended to next month when they go to trial for all that money laundering and credit card fraud and all that stuff he was doing. But she's an antagonist, and they like that on the show because it gets more viewers the messier the females can act, just like the chicks on The Real Housewives of New Jersey. And so. But then when you have the audacity to say that it was gross and this it should never happen, and I think they say Portia got fired, but Kenya was tweeting the other day that there should be consequences and she should leave the show. No, chick, you need a paycheck. So you're still gonna be there. You're just talking. Y'all the people that have that all that talk but no follow through, that's her. And so but Andy, I was kind of disappointed. And so it's like I said, it's so repulsive now that I don't even want to watch it. And it's like, okay, y'all not a good representation of the females in Atlanta, the real working class females in Atlanta. And because I have friends, females, black females and white females in Atlanta that are professional, they're good wives. They might not have all the money, but I have friends that, have it going on. Single females that are a lot classier and a lot less messy than these broads on The Real Housewives of Atlanta. But that's what sells. And when people stop watching that mess, that's when they'll start changing the formula and well, they're not going to change the formula because like I said, people like watching that mess. I have been watching Married to Mess Medicine, and that's messy too. It's just all that's just a whole bunch of mess. Nobody got time for all that. Anybody trying to see that on TV. And so this is the 3-part reunion. So Sunday will be part two, and then I guess we'll get part three the following Sunday. So, last thing on the list for tonight. You all know who James Franco is, right? Well, him and another producer of a movie called Interior.Leatherbar. Travis Matthews was the other guy, made this movie. And it was pretty interesting. And I'll be really happy when, well, not that I'll be happy. I won't be surprised if James Franco ever comes out of the closet. Because there's one thing to be a supporter of the gay community. There's one thing to be not bothered by it and wanting to be a force for equality. There's nothing wrong with it. We applaud your efforts. Thank you, thank you, thank you. But although, a couple of weeks ago, well, a couple, well, a month ago, he got in trouble for talking to that girl on Instagram and then tried to act like he had never been on Instagram before and he didn't know what he was doing, which that was a lie. But no, he made this movie. Remember the movie with Al Pacino years ago, that 70s flick called Cruising? Well, Cruising was a movie about an undercover cop who went into the gay leather bar scene to catch a serial killer. And supposedly 40 minutes of that particular movie was cut so the ratings board would give the film an R and not an X. So James Franco and Travis Matthews reimagined what the 40 minutes of that movie was. And then that's where we get Interior Leather Bar. And when I tell you, baby, y'all have to go to Netflix because it's on Netflix right now. Type in Interior Leather Bar and it should pop up. It's one of the new releases. And when I seen that, I'm like, what the hell is that? This is why I'm so glad Netflix. Not that I'm approved because I'm not. I'm so glad that Netflix now has accounts where you can switch account users and you can make them in like NC-17 or for your children who watch your Netflix account. I'm so glad that Netflix did that because, and I don't have any children, so I don't have to worry about it, but other people do, and because you click on this movie, you will get 1-0 education. And not that I've been, not that I've been into the S&M leather scene in the gay culture. Can't nobody hit me. You can't kick me. You can't pee on me. You can't punch me. Nothing. Because if you do, you're gonna have a fight on your hands. But there's some kids that like that. I'm just not one of them. And so, and so the but th let me tell you, during the 2008 inauguration, a friend and I traveled to Washington, D.C. to be part of history. But of course, we're young men, about the town, about the community. We're checking out DC for the nightlife. So we happened to be there during. We have to be in DC during IML. And if you don't know what IML is, it's International, I think International Male Leather Convention, and they have it in DC in January. So it coincided with the presidential inauguration. So we went to a party that was at a high rise next to the host hotel. And so the host hotel the host hotel, their windows face the windows of where we were staying at. When I say we were at a party at, and then our friends was like, "Yeah, this is what we do every year. We watch what's going on into these hotel rooms, and then we go to the little party down below." I'm like, and I was living in Atlanta at the time, but I'm still am a in some in a lot of ways a still little naive boy from Southern Indiana at the time, and I'm like, "What y'all mean?" So I mo get my little cocktail and I mosey on over to the window, and see all of a sudden when your eyes adjust and you can see into the rooms because all the windows were open. I'm like, y'all are doing too much. All the windows were, well, all the blinds were open. So when you're looking in, you see these naked bodies. I'm like, oh, that's what's going over there. I seen people in harnesses. I seen people, them things you string up from the wall. I seen whippings. I'm like, are you kidding me? Is this how y'all get down in DC? Because I didn't know. And so, and so after that was all done, I'm like, and that's okay. It's time to put your drinks down. We're going in. I'm like, are we going in? So we're going to the party. Well, the little convention thing that's in the lower parts of, not in the rooms, but in the like the convention hall in the bottom of the hotel. So when I go in there, baby, the first thing you smell when you walk into it is pits, ass, and leather. Sling, that's what it is. Sling. Thank you, NYC girl. Sling. I've seen slings. And when you go on there, there's people with these leather pig masks on, and this one guy put his he was really cute, by the way. He took this one guy's hand and put it in his armpit. He was going, "Smell my pit, smell my pit." I'm like, they are really getting down in DC. Don't do that to me, because we'll be fighting. But it had a prurient interest, so I was looking. But that's the whole thing. Getting back to what I was saying, that's what the movie was about, the cruisy movie. And so the reimagination of what the 40 minutes that were cut from the original movie, that's what James Franco did. And they were doing everything. There was blowjob. There was people having sex. There was people eating butt, sucking toes. And this is a movie on Netflix. And thing is, sometimes. And James Franco, because it was like doing a movie within a movie, and James Franco, he's right there filming it all up in the mix. I'm like, seriously? Because they're straight men who are comfortable with their sexuality, and they're comfortable, and there's even straight men that are comfortable being gay for pay. James Franco, in my opinion, was on the cusp of being almost too okay with it. Because if you ask me, people who do, whether it's the prostitute or escort or whatever, that's gay, or the porn actor is gay for pay, you like that shit. Stop playing. Let's keep it 100. And so, Jay, I mean, because you can't have, they barely show full frontal in movies as it is on a male. A female will be naked from tits to ass to feet, everything. But a male is still a little taboo to have that in a movie. You don't see a lot of it. And so this movie had erections. I'm like, are you kidding me? So that's why I'm so glad that Netflix has the parental controls on it now, because I would my thing is, you don't want and people might get mad at me for saying this. Gay people might get mad at me saying this. You don't That part, there's nothing wrong with exposing young people to people who are different from, say, their mother and father. There's nothing wrong with that. But it comes to a point to where, when it's sexuality and it's so in your face, I think parents in the home, who they're adults, who their authority, need to have the right to monitor what the kids are looking at online, what the kids are seeing on television, just from a standpoint where sometimes a kid needs to be a kid, if that makes sense. And I know people will say, "Oh, I'll get an email or a tweet or something," and they'll say, "Oh, you just don't you're ashamed of being gay, or you that's stupid." No, I think sometimes kids don't need to be exposed to everything. That's just my opinion. And I think sometimes parents need to control that part. And thankfully, it was interesting. I watched the whole thing. Yes, baby, I watched the whole thing. And it was interesting to reimagine, how what would have happened in those 40 minutes if, and that footage has never been found, obviously. What would happen in those 40 minutes if it had not been cut from the original movie, Cruising? Let's see. Well, do we have time for one more song, and then we'll come back and we'll come back and wrap all this good stuff up.
Love, the electrifying formula between two people with feelings, deep, charismatic, compelling, creating a union that is telling, shining a light, shedding a glow, feeling your soul. From love arises a booming energy, sending the world a message in a bottle. There is more to show. As the love grows and kicks into full throttle, the fused unit produces a message that becomes a more powerful whole, even more powerful than the love in full.
We go here,
I like that song, and I think that's going to be the end of the 5x5 Late Night Show today, or for tonight, I guess. And I want to thank NYC Girl, aka Sharon Shepherd, for joining me tonight. Although, not really going to say, because I'm not going to give negativity much. What's the word I'm looking for? Much power. She started out good, but then it ended up turning out to be a little trollish. But, you know, they're up and through here. And I'm sorry you feel that way, Sharon Shepherd. Thanks for joining the chat room. Many have you. Maybe you got an education. Maybe I was able to teach you a little something. So, guys, thank you guys for joining me tonight. I appreciate each and every one of you. Make sure you check out the Dwayne Hadley Show here on Spreaker.com and iHeartRadio. Also, check out Desert Rose. Who else do I love? Brenda White. Up All Night with Brenda White. Tony R. Williams. Marconi Baloney. All on Spreaker.com, and my friend Ken Boggle, who Ken Boggle Season 2 will be returning May the 8th, and I will be announcing those dates soon. And we'll be talking to two artists, writers, coming up on the 5x5 Fanboy Weekly and Comic Booked on Blog Talk Radio. The first we're going to be talking to the creator of from the Marvel book. We'll be talking to him on May the 1st. And then Peter Cimetti, the creator of The Cheer graphic novel that's transitioning into a movie. And we'll be talking to him as well on Comic Book in the coming weeks. Don't forget, Free Comic Book Day is May the 3rd. Check your local, go to freecomicbookday.com, put in your zip code, and find out where your local comic book stores are. If you want to be a comic book nerd, reader, whatever, the stories are really good. I actually went back by the comic book store today to pick some things that I missed because I'm such a lover of the genre. If you have a young person in your life, there's books for young kids. There's even some things for educators about comic books in the classroom. So there's a lot of things out there this comic book, this Free Comic Book Day. Check out the interview I did with the creator and founder of Free Comic Book Day, which is Joe Field. If you look down on Real Talk with David and Nikki, you will see that interview, or just type in Free Comic Book Day with Joe Field and you should be able to find the interview. Thank you guys for listening. We're taking off. Have a great weekend. Have a good night. We'll see you next time.